answered God's call to go to a new land, and an angel had brought a message from God to Hagar in the desert. And through the centuries since, an angel and a pillar of fire led the people of Israel out of Egypt. God sent prophets to encourage the people. The angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel. But it had been nearly 400 years of silence since the word of the Lord came to them through the prophet Malachi. Yet many remain devoted to the Lord as they go about their ordinary days. Like this elderly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. He's a priest, a teacher, and a leader in his community, and they both observe the Lord's commands. The Bible tells us they are righteous in God's sight. They do carry a great sorrow. They have not been able to conceive. For many years, they longed for a child, but now they're getting old, and perhaps the fervent prayer for a baby has faded into the darkness. Twice a year, Zechariah has to go to Jerusalem to serve in the temple for a week. Thousands of priests took turns with the duties in the outer courts, burning sacrifices on the altars for the sins of the people. Each time they would draw lots to see who would have the honor to go into the holy place to burn incense for the prayers of the people. And one day, Zechariah was chosen, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to approach the glory of the Lord in the holy place, just outside the heavy curtain before the holiest of holies. On this very special day, Zechariah has the great privilege to burn the incense and offer the prayers of the people in the holy place. He leaves the people praying in the outer court and enters the holy place and sprinkles the incense over the burning coals, and a fragrant cloud arises into the air. Zechariah lies flat on the floor to offer the prayers of thanksgiving, to plead for redemption to come to the people, to pray for the peace of Israel. His prayers rise up with the incense. And perhaps, along with his prayers for Israel, his old prayer for a child escapes from his heart again, too. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears. Naturally, Zechariah is terrified. Immediately, the angel speaks, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. The Lord has heard your prayer." Zechariah probably wonders, "Which prayer? I have prayed for so much. Your wife Elizabeth will have a baby boy. You must name him John. He will bring joy to many. The Holy Spirit will fill him even before he's born. He will call Israel back to the Lord. He will help the people turn around. Parents and children will reconcile. Rebels will learn righteousness. Your son will prepare the way for the Lord." Zechariah can hardly believe his ears. How can this be? He's old, and so is his wife. We're reminded of another story, of their ancestor Abraham and his wife Sarah. When they were very old, three angelic visitors came to them with a message that they would have a baby. Sarah laughed at the very idea. Yet God's promises to Abraham would be fulfilled. And now, just like Sarah and Abraham, Zechariah is incredulous at the angel's words. "How can I be sure this will happen?" Is he doubtful? Hopeful? Maybe he just wants a sign? And the response is clear. "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I was sent to give you this marvelous news." And then Zechariah gets his sign as Gabriel continues, "You will remain silent until these words come true. because you did not believe. Ah, so there was some disbelief in Zechariah's wondering question, and now he cannot speak. He will not even be able to talk about this amazing encounter with the angel Gabriel. As God prepares his great rescue, Zechariah will have to wait in silence, and the wonder of God's plan will be concealed until the time is right. As Zechariah absorbs this news from the Lord's messenger, the people outside praying outside the temple wonder what's taking him so long to come out and give them the blessing. Has something happened to him in the holy place? Indeed, it has. When he finally comes out, though, he cannot say a word. So he gestures and points. Is he squirming in frustration or dancing with good news? They catch on that he must have seen a vision. After Zechariah finishes his week of duties at the temple in silence, he goes home to tell his wife his story. No, wait. He doesn't get to tell her his story just yet. But they will find ways to communicate, and she becomes pregnant. Even Elizabeth kept this quiet for a while. She stays in hiding for 5 months before she's ready to share her good news with everyone. And Elizabeth does speak up with praise to the Lord. She recognizes right away that the Lord has done this for her. God has entered into her ordinary world of faithful living and persistent prayer with a gracious gift. No more disgrace among the townsfolk. She is going to have a baby. Meanwhile, Zechariah may be wondering, which prayer will the Lord answer? Zechariah had prayed for a child. He'd prayed for the peace of Israel, a personal request and a communal petition. Could he really have a son after all these years? Could redemption really come to Israel? As he thought about dark times, the sorrow in his own life and the despair of Israel under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire, was it his personal pain or his anguish about the Jewish people that prompted him to question the angel's announcement? Had he become too skeptical about what the Lord can do? Perhaps the Holy Spirit worked on Zechariah as he pondered these deep questions during all those silent months. After all, Zechariah is a righteous priest of God. Even amidst the shadows, he may still trust God to keep his covenant promises. Maybe his months of silence were occupied by studying that amazing angel announcement, considering how their lives could be changed by the birth of a son. Perhaps he pored over the scriptures to discover, again, what the prophets said about the Mighty One and his plan of redemption. He could read about God's promise to Abraham to bless all people through him, the Psalms that pointed to someone who would rescue them from the enemy, Jeremiah and Micah and Malachi and Isaiah 40, where it says that a voice would call in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And he probably read about Elijah again, since the angel had told him his son would be filled with the spirit of Elijah. As Zechariah wrestled with questions and prayed and studied through the months, it became clear that a child really was coming. If that part of his prayers would be fulfilled, was even more possible? Indeed, God has broken into his humble devotion with an incredible gift that will answer every prayer. Their son, John, will be filled with the Spirit and will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And the Lord's coming will bring about the redemption and peace of Israel. When the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth was born, the whole village shared Elizabeth's joy in the mercy of the Lord. Then came the time to circumcise their son according to God's covenant with the Jewish people, and time to name him. His mother said, "He will be called John." The people were stunned. "No one in your family has that name. We better check with the father." So they gestured to Zechariah. Was he not able to hear them either, in addition to not being able to speak? This has indeed been a very silent time for him. So they got him a tablet. To their great surprise, Zechariah wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his tongue was set free, and he began to praise God. It seems clear that during the season of silence, even old Zechariah learned new ways and grew in character, putting on a new garment of trust and praise to the Lord. Through those months, God's mercy, the forgiveness of sins, the rescue from death itself, all of this points to a deeper and wider meaning of salvation. Luke here is preparing us to see that God, in fulfilling the great promises of the Old Testament, is going beyond a merely this worldly salvation and opening the door to a whole new world in which sin and death themselves will be dealt with. This is what we need to hear too. God's mercy is deep and wide. God offers the gift of salvation that has come and will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and to guide our feet into the path of peace. The Lord will rescue us and will guide us into peace. When the angel Gabriel visited Zechariah, the story of God's activity among his people resumed. After years of prayerful waiting, of wandering in the darkness, the light begins to dawn. A messenger came from the Lord to Zechariah to reveal part of God's plan to restore humanity. The time of waiting for God to redeem his people is nearly over. Their son John, filled with the Spirit already in the womb, would grow up to prepare the way for the Lord. The people of Israel will come back to the Lord. Parent and child will mend fences. Rebels and fools will become wise and faithful. People will turn from their foolish ways, and their hearts will be made ready to welcome the Lord when he steps into their midst. And he will turn their world upside down and right side up, as God already did for Zechariah, and as God can do for us. We go through our ordinary, everyday lives like Zechariah, trying to be faithful in hope and persistent in prayer. We wrestle with God's promises as we pray for a child, for healing, for courage. We pray for restoration and reconciliation, for resources for our ministry. We pray for God's peace to enter our hearts, our families, our world. Sometimes we receive miraculous answers to prayer. Health restored, better jobs, new opportunities, a child. Other times it seems our prayers go unheard. The gloom can become oppressive. And yet we persist and we wait. We wait. We need to be ready to receive a message from the Lord. Rarely now does God send angels to us. Though I have a friend who is sure it was an angel who spoke to him, prompting him to provide a home for teenage boys in foster care. More often, God speaks to us through people who know us, through words in Scripture, through our quiet listening in prayer. Here's an idea for a spiritual practice during this Advent season. Just as Zechariah spent at least 9 months in silence pondering the words of the Lord, perhaps we could devote 9 minutes every day of Advent to read Scripture and pray, listening for what God might reveal. Listen for His words of promise and mercy and peace. You might begin with Luke 1, verses 57 to 80 to read the rest of the story of Zechariah. God's promises are both reliable and unpredictable. God is faithful and good. God can surprise us in the ways He answers prayer. As Pastor Mark Nellison said, the news from the angel Gabriel reveals that God's Spirit is hovering and speaking over places that are dead or dying and speaking a new word. The new promises that even before He is born, He will be fulfilled. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's unbelievable, laughable, and absurd. But that is the way God moves. And when He does, that movement stirs and silences and mobilizes. It removes shame and disgrace and replaces these with wonder. God's interruptions fill emptiness with hope and promise where there is none. Only God can do that. Friends, do not be afraid. God can do amazing things, even fill emptiness with hope and promise. So I encourage you, persist in prayer. Be full of hope. Wait for God's grace to be revealed. God is faithful to His promises. And though we often travel through shadows, the light of Christ still shines. Christ has come, and Christ will come again. He will show us mercy. He will restore all things. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.